Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 6:25 a.m. and that is Beijing time or Guangzhou time. And today is August 7th. This is the recording for August 6th. The stock market in Wall Street has closed about an hour and a half ago. I think the big news here today really is that negative yield totals hit $15 trillion in here today. So it's gone up a trillion in a week, and that is representative of a phenomenal momentum move underway in the bond markets. When we think about everything that's going on in terms of the trade war, the relationship between the USA and China, or the relationship between Japan and South Korea, or the relationship between the UK and Europe, this is all part of a wider tapestry. And the fact of the matter is that globalization is under threat. And that is because it has not worked out for a substantial number of people. When we look at the 10-year government bond yield, it has come down from approximately 2% to 1.7% in the space of 4 days. That's a pretty exaggerated move. It does suggest that we're getting to the point not so far away that there is going to be at least a test of the lower side of the range. And this is an exaggerated move. The pace of the advance is picking up. In fact, if we look at the period over the course of the last decade, the only time that the yield has fallen faster than it has done over the course of the last 3 or 4 months was back in 2011. So we don't have a clear idea right now of whether the lower side of the range is going to in fact hold. Because back in 2011, we were still in a downtrend. We were still at the point where yields had not yet found a bottom. And the bottoming process took almost 3 years. So when then we look at what's going on right now, well, we know that 1.5% represents the lower side of the range. And there will at least be some people will see that they don't represent quite as much value at 1.5% as they did when they were trading at over 3%. But at the same time, bonds are valued on a relative value basis. And when we think about relative value, well, the fact that there is $15 trillion worth of bonds that are trading with negative yields, well, that does represent a rather large tailwind. And of course, we have the additional fact that the dollar, particularly against the euro, has not been particularly volatile. We've had some choppy markets, but the size of the move on the dollar index has been largely confined to swings between approximately 96 and 98. Well, that's less than 2%. And when we think about the kinds of move, particularly on a momentum basis, that we're getting in some of these bonds, well, it would suggest that there is a rather large unhedged bond position in some of these futures, and that this momentum move we're getting, particularly in the bonds of countries that are not yet negative, that would rather suggest that there is a lot of people that are ignoring the currency risk and simply supporting the momentum. If that is indeed the case, well, what that would suggest is any kind of real volatility on the dollar is likely to have a deleterious effect on the bond market, particularly if that if we get a big decline in the dollar. It's right in the region of the trend mean, and it has bounced in here today. So that is at least taken off of the menu for the short term. But the fact of the matter is that this range that we've had on the dollar has been so involatile for the last while that there is the real potential that we're going to get a breakout. And when the breakout comes, it is likely to be really quite large. These types of periods where the currency doesn't do much generally lead to big moves. So far, the progression of higher reaction lows remains intact. Now, there is increasing speculation that the Federal Reserve is going to cut rates again, potentially in September, and I'm not entirely sure whether that is likely, but the one thing that we can be certain of is that they're going to do everything they can to ensure the sustainability of the economic expansion, because the last thing they want is a recession. And if that's indeed the case, well, the S&P 500 today did bounce from the region of the trend mean. And this does represent the first area of potential support. And if it can continue to hold this level, well, then that would represent really quite a beneficial outcome. It would suggest that we are getting some consolidation in the region of the upper side of the range, and at the psychological 3,000 level. So what that would be suggestive of is, I think, that this is a consolidation. If we were to see, most particularly, I think the thing that people would be most unhappy to see and would raise a great deal of uncertainty about the stock market would be that if the index comes back below the trend mean and then encounters resistance in the region of the trend mean, then we would be talking about potential top formation completion. But potentially, right now, we're looking at a potential entry opportunity for, I think, highly risk tolerant investors. This is the margin of where it could look wrong is quite low relative to the potential for upside if this range is eventually completed on the upside. Then when we think about what's going on in China, well, the reality here is that the A-share index is under pressure, that it has pulled back below the trend mean, it has set a new reaction low, but this is a state monitored stock market, and bull markets in China tend to be state sponsored. It's not in their interests right now to have a clear bull market in the stock market, not least because I think they're much more concentrated on exactly what to do about the currency. They do have an economic slowdown. When we think about all of the excesses that went into the run-up to the financial crisis in 2006 and 7, well, there was a property bubble, and there were liar loans, and there was the assumption that nobody really had to worry about default, that with credit default swaps, you could hedge your exposure to default indefinitely. Well, we quickly learned that somebody has to hold the default probability. But then go back and think about what's going on today in China. They have a property bubble. Property is extraordinarily expensive. They also have liar loans. It's not so much that there are lies, it's just that nobody ever thought that they would have to get paid back. There was an assumption that default was never going to happen because the government would step in to support troubled credits indefinitely. And of course, that is no longer happening. They are allowing defaults on a piecemeal basis, but the number of those defaults has been trending higher for a pretty sustained period of time already. And it was 3 times higher last year than the year previous, and it's likely to be higher again this year. Well, what that is suggesting is that there is the real potential here that China is on the cusp not only of a slowdown, but potentially of a recession. If we were to think about what the real questions are, then the potential for a Chinese recession has got to be out there as one of the big risks. The fact that the continuous commodity index has been trending downwards. This is against a background where we're starting to get stimulus coming through. That's not really supportive of the view that China is firing on all cylinders. They are engaging in fiscal stimulus, but they have skipped the monetary stimulus on this occasion. They are not engaging in infrastructure development, and that is not particularly good news for the property sector. Therefore, when we look at the currencies of some of the commodity exporters, then they are also under pressure here. And that's, I think, one of the other points worth monitoring, that the Australian dollar, for example, is at new reaction lows. And it has been trending down now for more than a year. The RBA might have stopped or at least paused in its rate cutting, but it has certainly not ended it. And there is the real potential that there is additional downside in these Australian government bond yields as well. Then, when I think about what's going on in terms of the UK, well, there is this clear uncertainty about what's going to happen in terms of the political environment. And bond investors are not hanging around, and the yield has contracted from approximately 1.5% to 50 basis points in a very short period of time. We're now right in the region of the yield lows from back in immediately after the Brexit referendum. The pound is also back in the region of the lower side of its range and testing the lows from immediately after the Brexit referendum. Now, there is a clear, I think, sense here that the US, excuse me, the UK administration has learned some of its lessons, and that they are now willing to try and negotiate from a position of strength and provide a credible sense that they are willing to leave the EU. The problem is in their ability to, in fact, carry through on that threat. And that's one of the reasons why I think the pound has not rallied further. That there is this question about what, in fact, is going to happen, because the UK Parliament may not want to allow it, but the UK needs a weaker currency, and they are engaging in massive fiscal stimulus. And regardless of who the Prime Minister is, that's going to be one of the abiding characteristics. So the administration may have lost the by-election over the weekend, but because any new administration has basically killed off fiscal austerity, it means that there is likely to be a clear deficit stimulus bent to every new administration in the UK because of the political polarization and the fact that living standards have not been rising. And this is one of the most fundamental points. It's something that a clear, simple look at exports or at just nominal GDP figures fails to take into account. There are simply fewer workers needed for each new pound, dollar, yen, or euro of export potential. And what are all those people supposed to do? And I think that is the big question that is being asked today of every country. It's the root cause behind the rise of populism. And the answer of the administrations of so many countries is simply that they're going to compete in terms of the value of their currencies. They're going to engage in this competitive devaluation, and that's the reason why gold is starting to break out here. This is a base formation completion. What it suggests is that gold could be taking out its 2011 peak in US dollars within the next 12 months based on the fact that ranges are explosions waiting to happen. Now, that would rather suggest that the dollar is going to be one of the currencies that starts to break down. But the problem with the dollar bear thesis is against what? Because the USA still has the strongest economy, and generally speaking, people will support the strongest economy with the strongest currency. And so far, that continues to be Wall Street. I think that we also have to I think begin to pay attention to the possibility that what we are seeing is a rerun of the late 1990s. And when we think about the Fed funds rate, what I found most interesting about Jay Powell's statement that the interest rate cut last week was a mid-cycle cut. What that suggests is that if we look at the history of interest rate cuts, they have historically cut aggressively once they've started cutting. The only time that did not happen was between approximately 1995 and 2000. They did not cut by 500 basis points. They only cut by a few. But in that time, we had the birth of the internet, and then we also had the Asian financial crisis. We had the Russian debt default, the peso crisis, long-term capital management, and all the way through that, the dollar remained reasonably steady, and the stock market went on an absolute tear because it sucked in investors from all over the world because of the uncertainty that was being experienced in so many emerging markets. Now, it would appear that that is what Jay Powell thinks is going on now. And that's a big gamble, considering that that was a very unique set of circumstances in the 1990s. But the dollar is firm, Wall Street is reasonably steady, and the government bond yields are in a mania phase. And we have the potential that we're going to get synchronized global fiscal and monetary expansion. And that should be good for asset prices. It also means that the debt problems later, when that process eventually runs its course, are going to be even larger than they are today. But that is one of the factors in a mania, that you do get valuations that become truly silly. And I do think that that rationale still has a fighting chance. And with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.